And I want to welcome you all to another Daily Decad, Rosary on the Road. This is my third attempt at a recording today. It just doesn't seem to be coming smoothly. I got a rainstorm in the background, having a little bit of a hard time with, we do all of these. None of this is rehearsed. I don't write scripts or anything, so make mistakes, stumble over your words, all that sort of thing. You just make a new recording and keep going. And actually, that's what I wanted to pray for today. We don't have any intentions in the inbox, and we've run through any intentions. I haven't received anything on Telegram or on Gab or anything like that. So I do have an intention, and it was sort of inspired by where I was when I woke up this morning. You know, you do these every day, and eventually you get to a point where you wake up and you just don't want to do anything at all. And I don't mean to sit here and whine and complain about me. That's not what I'm getting at. But it inspired a thought in me, and I wanted to pray for anyone who is feeling distant from God right now, or anyone who might even be in doubt about God, about the faith, to enlighten them and enliven them. I think it's an appropriate thing to pray for on a Tuesday. It is the Sorrowful Mysteries today, which traditionally is a set of mysteries that we use to reflect upon our own sinfulness. And sin, of course, creates a great distance between us and God, and closing that distance requires effort on our part. And so it seems to me appropriate to pray for those who maybe need a little bit of help, need a little bit of encouragement to start bridging some of that gap that's created by their own doubts and their own fears and their own inadequate defenses against the devil and the fears and doubts and anxieties he sows in us. So I'd like to pray for them, perhaps for you. If you're listening to this and you've been struggling with that, then this is for you. And I do mean that. Today is a Tuesday. Oh, before I should do the housekeeping thing before I dive into it. If you have a prayer intention, speaking of praying for you, if you have a personal prayer intention, a request, anything of that nature, send it into dailydecadrequests@protonmail.com. That's Decad, DECADE, requests in the plural, at protonmail.com. And that will give me the opportunity to pray for you personally by name, which is, on my part, an act of reparation. It's a penance that I do. And so it's an opportunity for me to complete my penance. If God is not sending me prayer requests, then I think I need to up my game. But send in your prayer requests, and you get a benefit from it because you get me and the entire audience and everybody that works on the Daily Decad praying for you. I get a benefit because I get to pray for you. And everybody in the audience and everybody working on the Daily Decad also gets a benefit because we have the opportunity to approach God in petition, which is, it's funny to think about that as an opportunity, but it is an opportunity. So you give all sorts of things that you may not even imagine when you write in a prayer request, even a small one. I think we've responded to all the emails. I've had somebody helping me out with that. I think we've got them all covered now, but if we don't, I do apologize. I'll run through it this afternoon and see, make sure I haven't missed anybody. Now, let's go ahead and get your rosaries out. We'll turn our hearts and our minds to God. I'll pray for everyone who might be feeling distant from God today and might be feeling doubtful. Today's a Tuesday, so we'll pray in English. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. To thee do we send up our sighs, weeping and mourning from this vale of tears. Turn then, O gracious Advocate, thine eyes of mercy unto us, and after this our exile, shew unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary. Pray for us, Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ thy Son was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. O Saints Peter and Paul, whose feast it is this day, we ask thy intercession upon thy feast day. For all of those in darkness, for thou, O Paul, was the enlightener of the Gentiles, and thou, O Peter, carried the light of Christ and the authority of Christ. We ask thy intercession, thy help, thy aid, for all of those in doubt and difficulty, for all of those who feel distant from Christ our Lord. We pray that he will shine forth his light brighter unto them, that it may be seen more easily by those with weak eyes of the Spirit, and or that their eyes may be strengthened to behold the light, to bask in it, to gain by it enlightenment of the soul, that they may not be far from God, but near to him, and draw ever nearer, and that all of us likewise should draw ever nearer to the light of Christ until we behold it face to face. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, from whom all good things come, by whom all good things were created, who liveth and reigneth with God the Father and the Holy Ghost, one God, world without end. Amen. For all of us in our daily struggles, our daily battles, St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, thy kingdom come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well then, turning to the topic that I had on my mind, I'm going to get personal for a moment. It's not meant to focus on me. That's not the point of the reflection, but it does rather facilitate what I'm going to say later. I woke up this morning not really feeling it today. I don't know whether it's the weather. It hasn't really stopped raining for a little while here, but sometimes we wake up, we feel distant from God. We don't feel called to pray. We can't really pray. It's a struggle to do so. And we hear again and again to say these, to do these things, all the more so when we feel that way. St. Mark, the ascetic, said, when you are near to God, pray more that you might be strengthened when you are far from Him, or when you forget Him. I think when you remember God, pray, and pray all the harder, so that when you forget Him, you will pray and you will still pray, or you will pray worthily. And it does help if you have a life of prayer that when you do enter one of these little spiritual deserts, whether it's for a short time or a long time, you have the sort of supplies stored up to make it across the desert. But it occurred to me as I was sitting in the car thinking to myself, well, how in the world am I going to start the daily decade? I don't have any intentions to go on. I don't really feel like doing this, recording this, praying today. I thought about praying my rosary instead and doing the recording later on. And I tried to get the rosary out, couldn't do that either. And the thought that occurred to me was that when we are near to God, it is because He has drawn near to us. When we are far from God, it is because we have not made sufficient effort to stay near Him. God is unchanging. He stays in the same spot all the time. Compare Him to the sun, and that wouldn't even be accurate, since the sun moves around the earth as we perceive it. It's not constant in the sky all the time. Whether the earth's moving or the sun's moving, whether you're an ancient Greek or you're a modern New Yorker, it doesn't matter. The sun is not a constant thing to us. God is constant, and we are not. If we feel distant from God, it is often, usually, in fact, He has permitted us to wander, but it is usually us who wanders, even if we can't really put our finger on exactly why. If we can't really figure out how we ended up distant from Him, but it usually is us. And as I thought about that, and I thought, well, if it seems, therefore, that God is far off, that's not a reason for discouragement, but rather a motivation to make an effort to draw nearer to Him. Whether it be by prayer and forcing yourself to pray. It is hard to pray when you're far from God. It's hard to read when you don't have a light. It's hard to breathe when you're underwater. And it's up to us to get to the surface. It's up to us to draw nearer to the light so that we can read, to draw nearer to God so that we can pray, and to force ourselves to do so. Because the nearer that we draw to God, the easier it will become to do so. And if God permits it, if God permits us to wander, and He does sometimes do that, He permits us to wander off, to take a wrong path, to sit down, and not complete our journey towards Him. He permits it because it benefits us when we finally get the gumption up to fix the problem. Sometimes God will permit the light of the sun may be constant and stay in one place, and there may be a shroud placed over it, and He dips. again, God permits those things so that we will make greater efforts. Because there's no effort that we make here of a spiritual nature that won't be beneficial to us in the end. I saw recently a C.S. Lewis quote floating around. I'm not particularly fond of C.S. Lewis, but he has these sort of wonderful analogies and metaphors. Bad theology, but good poetry. And he talked about, in the quote, he was talking about how those who die in their sins already experience a foretaste of hell in their own unrepentance. And so when they get to hell, it will feel like they've always been in hell. And those who die in a penitent state, having already begun to cleanse their sins, when they reach heaven, these sins will be all merged, all the rewards of all their good deeds and all of the stain of the sin that's been washed away will seem to be done at once. And so when they get to heaven, it will feel as though they have always been in heaven. I don't know how theologically sound that is, but it is wonderful poetry, and it does rather illustrate the impact that our spiritual actions and thoughts can have on us here on earth and here in time. And one of the things that it has, the impacts that it has on us, is that when we are far from God because of our own sins, it does rather feel like hell. It's difficult to get a light. It's difficult to fight the suffering that we often feel. And it is a real suffering, this sort of malaise. I think the very academic term, if you really want to impress people at a party, is ennui. I can't remember it, but there's a German word, angst, all of that. These are all things that we overcome through our own, I don't want to say through our own efforts, that sounds almost Pelagian to say, but we do have to put forth the effort in prayer to gain access to God's grace. We don't ever have the ability to take the grace ourselves, but we do need to draw near to God to get it. And that does require effort on our part. It requires penitence. It requires faith. It requires all of the things that accompany that. And faith is work. It is hard work. It's not just something that you think about. It is something more deep-seated than that. Faith is, in many ways, a kind of obedience and loyalty more than it is a kind of belief or opinion. Much more than an opinion, but more than a belief even. It's a sort of loyalty. It is in a moment of doubt, you can still have great faith if you remain loyal by your own willful choice to the way and the truth and the life that Christ is. That's faith, that sense of loyalty, which is why it's not really a question of belief or unbelief. You know, your faith, if you really understand faith, then the idea of a blind faith or a knowing faith, these things don't make a great deal of sense. Faith is just faith. It's an attachment that you have, almost like the loyalty that you have to your family, the love that you have for your parents. It's something more deep-seated than what forms in our minds. And when we're distant from God, that faith is the difference between staying distant from Him and finding our way back to Him, because it animates us. Even just a prayer that I want to pray is an act in many ways of faith, a statement of this loyalty. I want these things. I want to want these things. It may take a little while to get there, but it's by that means that we get there. And so, when I found myself in difficulty this morning, the thing that I did was think about exactly that. That, you know, it's incumbent on me to find my way back to God if I've wandered, if I feel distant. It's incumbent on me. And that feeling of discontent, of malaise, that one feels when one cannot pray, that's the restlessness that St. Augustine talks about when he says that our hearts are restless until they rest in Thee. we are not whole unless we are moving towards God. We are emptying if we are not filling up. We're sinking if we're not swimming. And so I said to myself, well, I've just got to make the effort. If it's all incumbent on me, then I've just got to act. I can't sit here. Now, I could sit here and mope all the way to work. It's an hour long, and I'm sure I could get lost in my own thoughts. I have enough of them to fill episode upon episode upon episode of the Daily Deck, and I certainly have enough thoughts to entertain myself for an hour. But then I would be exactly where I was when I got in the car this morning, when I got out of the car at work. I wouldn't have improved. Nothing would have changed. I wouldn't be any better off then. And I wouldn't be any closer to God. And I wouldn't be able to solve this problem that I have, this discontent that is indicative of distance from God. It's only through the effort that we put forth that we are able to regain that thing. Because God rewards us as we draw nearer to Him. It's sort of it's like you want to read by candlelight. Well, the candle knows when you're coming near it, and it flares up so that you can read more clearly. That's how God's love is for us. He wants, it's a desire that's rooted in His being. That we should, and that's when we talk about God's desires, God doesn't have desires like human beings have desires. He doesn't love like human beings love. It's a divine love, a divine desire that is contained in God, in the very being of God. It is His nature, this sort of unchanging, constant nature of God, that we should be drawn to Him. That's what it means when it says the will of the Father. There's the way that this, the intensity of this desire, the intensity of this love is so difficult to express that not even the Greeks could do it properly. The words that they used for desire were words that were purely human. This is an intense desire. One of the words, and I've forgotten what it is now, but is a passage about the will of the Father. And the word that's used for will is a word that could mean a sort of passionate, erotic desire, an uncontrollable erotic desire. And obviously that's not the meaning that's in the text. That's not what the evangelist is trying to convey, but he didn't know what word to use there to fill that in because there was no word. The Holy Spirit could inspire him. The Holy Ghost could give him what he needed to express the reality, but without a word in the language, the Holy Ghost could only give him the sense. He couldn't actually give him the word, the specific word itself. And so to try to capture the sense that he felt an inspiration from the Holy Ghost, he reached for this word to express the intensity, because intensity was the thing he was really trying to convey. Not necessarily the word desire, but the word intense is the operative word. And so, and that's the intensity of God's will is one that is bound up in Himself. And so that's something to really think about when we think about that God's will, God desires not the death of a sinner, but that he be converted and live. That's not just a whimsy. It's not just a passing fancy like we have desires. I desire ice cream. I desire a chicken sandwich. I desire whatever it is. You know, it's for God, we are so important to Him as the crown of His creation, that our salvation, the will to our salvation, the desire for our salvation, is bound up in the very being of God. It, in a way, it is God. The desire that we be saved is God. After a fashion. Now, of course, now, this is one of these points where I have to say, if anything that I'm saying can be construed as heresy or is heresy, then obviously I recant revoco. I don't want to preach heresy or teach heresy. But I do think that, I think I'm right, first of all. But more importantly, this conveyed to me, and I hope it conveys to you, the intensity of God's love and his desire for our well-being. So when we feel distant from God, it's a good reminder to us that it's not God that puts that distance there. It's us. We put that distance there. Our fallen qualities put that distance there. And God will give us the grace sufficient to close that distance. God always gives us sufficient grace to the challenges that face us. He will give us sufficient grace to close that distance between us and him. And whether that takes a long time or whether it's immediate, he gives us the grace to do it. And prayer is one of the most powerful ways to sort of shore ourselves up in the meantime and also move our feet along as we try to draw back nearer to the light of God. And so, and that's why prayer, when you don't want to pray, when you don't want to do it, when you don't feel like praying, when it feels oppressive to pray, I don't mean in a childish way, as you know, like my parents are oppressing me. I don't mean that. I mean, it is actually a slog to get through a prayer, and it has been for me. Getting through the Lord's Prayer sometimes has been a slog. I actually lose my place in the Lord's Prayer, of all things. Anyway, when we make that effort in prayer, it becomes easier to pray. If you don't want to pray, pray harder. That's the solution. Don't want to do it? Do it harder. Because you will be drawn into the prayer, and it will give you what you need in order to graduate to the next step as you continue to make your way back towards God. That's the whole point of a life of prayer. And drawing ourselves to the point of contemplative prayer, like we talked about yesterday, is really the point, because contemplative prayer is when you're just sitting in the presence of God. And so, my prayer today, and we've already prayed for it in a way, is that all of us who feel distant from God will have that gap closed, and that we'll be able to see God's light, however far off he is, we'll be able to see the beacon, that we may walk in a straight line towards him, and that in the end we may behold that light, a warming light, a calming light, the light of God's love, light contained in the Sacred Heart and the love of Christ, that we may behold it face to face and may glorify him in thanksgiving for the great grace and blessing that it is to behold that light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.